السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You are tuning to Youth Talk with me, Bibi Aisha Lahir, on Radio Islam International. This morning, we're talking about family dynamics. In recent times, obviously, families have changed. We're going to be learning about the nuclear family, role and support of extended family, how certain people choose to have smaller families, the challenges that parents and children may face if there is an only child, if there are families where there are big age gaps, as well as if there are families where there are many children, middle child syndrome, the role of an elder child helping the younger siblings in a parental role somewhat, and also sometimes if the younger child could be maybe very spoiled or overly pampered because he or she is the younger child. So lots of different scenarios, lots of ways of assisting parents and assisting children who are in this situation. We're talking to Dr. Geeta Prag, who is a remedial therapist and educational psychologist based in Monjo in the south of Johannesburg. And based on her experience and interaction with parents and the youth, she will be advising us about family dynamics in recent times. Good morning, Dr. Prag, and welcome to Youth Talk on Radio Islam International.
Good morning and salam to you and all your listeners.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So good to have you on air with us. I know in our preparation for the show, we had so much that we would like to discuss this morning. And obviously, we look forward to getting some gems of wisdom from you.
All right. It's only been my pleasure. And I would like to say right at the outset that psychology is a social science field. And whatever we discuss cannot be applied with 100% certainty. So whatever I discuss or whatever questions are posed to me, I will only be able to answer from my experience and from whatever knowledge and research I've applied.
Definitely. Doctor, first we're talking about, our topic is family dynamics. What are the family dynamics in recent times?
All right. Like from my experience of working with parents and children, sometimes I find that some parents choose to have just one child. Some parents aim to have just two children, called a pigeon pair. And sometimes they have three or more children. So it depends on the parents' kind of preference. It's not the child's preference. It's actually the parents' preference. And sometimes you find that there may be a single parent, so they would choose not to have another child. And it depends on actually the preference of the parents, I think. I think the younger generation of parents, they opt for different, they have different reasons. And I would say that basically, I think a parent would say, I would like to have one child because I could give everything to that child. And there's repercussions to having that kind of viewpoint as well. And if you have too many children, that also has a repercussion. So there's no right and wrong answer. But I would think that if you have a balanced family, I think that's what should be aimed for. Because at the end of the day, the role of a parent is to prepare the child for the bigger world. And that's what's important.
I think I think obviously our aim for today's show is to offer support in various scenarios, let's put it that way, or various family makeup. So based on your experience and your interaction with the youth as well as with parents, with teachers, this is some of, the guidance that you will be offering. It is generalized because, we have different scenarios and different reasons why parents choose how they would like their family to be. But also, ultimately, the Almighty blesses a couple with children, irrespective of how much we can plan. And obviously, that is in the hands of the Almighty, whatever is destined.
I agree with you. Destination is not in your hands. I think it's planned. I mean, by our Creator, and we have to live with that. But we have to also be prepared for that. That we can't plan, and we're not the ones who are going to plan our life. So how best we equip our journey is from the knowledge we get about ourselves and what kind of parent do we actually want to be for our children.
Yes, yes, definitely. Geeta, different types of families today as compared to obviously 20 years ago. Parenting styles have changed. Obviously, times have changed. What changes, you know, have you seen, like, dramatically? Like, you know, we said at the beginning of the show, there are parents who actually opt to only have one child sometimes. Other times, you know, there will be parents that would say that, you know, I just want my pigeon pair, my son and my daughter, as compared to 20 years ago where there would be larger families.
Sure. If you look at the extended family previously, like where the uncles and aunts and all the children grew up, so parents didn't really have... like, I would say not that they didn't plan, but it was easier because you find that the uncle will take care of you, not knowing that that is your uncle. You would regard him as your dad, or the aunt will be regarded as a mom. So in previous times, children grew up, I would say, maybe more healthy, because if one parent is lost or if a sibling is lost, you could still compensate for that. And each one learned to grow up in a situation where lots of learning could take place in a healthy way. Like if there's competition between the family, you learn how to have better skills. And those skills are important because when you go out to the real world, there's competition out there. And you can't run away from that. So the bigger the family at that point in time, I think there was more advantages because each one could help each other. Like you would realize that that's your mom and dad at a later stage because, you know, it was such a... I would say like more like an Ubuntu kind of situation where each one helped each other if you didn't have something. So in the previous times, it was like that. And grandparents were very involved in bringing up their grandchildren. And even money-wise, I think that because there was so much of togetherness, finance was better. Although it wasn't as, financial situations wasn't as that great. But because it was an extended family, people could do better things together. And remember, in an extended family, those children don't have to go out and look for friends. Whereas in today's times, you find that if a parent has one child, that child doesn't have a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And that parent, the parents have each other as friends. And you can never be, as a parent, I don't really believe that you can be a child's friend. Because you can, a parent's role is completely, you can't buy that role.
Definitely. And we'll be talking extensively later, you know, about the different dynamics that we've been dealing with, where we spoke about children that have big age gaps between them, the only child, as well as when there are many children in a family. But for now, as we're speaking about, you know, the role of extended family members, like the changes that have come about, you know, in our planning for the show, we also spoke about that previously families used to live close by. So, you know, you could have an uncle and aunt that's not very far away. The grandparents are not very far away. And now because of work reasons, families do not live so close by anymore. So you can't just pop in by your grandparents' house in the afternoon, maybe. That's not the case with every family. Like what we're talking about today is very generalized. It's not obviously not something that fits with every family or household. So those also could be reasons that obviously there isn't that much of family support was before. Because before there were families that all lived together.
Yes. Like in today's times, if you look at both parents are working. I mean, well, the situation...
In a lot of households,
both parents
yes.
have to work. And what happens when the parents are not at home and the child comes home? There's always an au pair, there's a nanny, and having to take care of them. Plus, the mom comes home, mom and dad comes home, and they still have to continue their home, their house chores. They still have to cook. They still have to do homework with the child. So if you look at that, how much of patience can a human being have? You know, you've had a full days of work, you come home and you still have to take care of your children's needs. So that becomes a bit more, I would say, more demanding than previously. And if you look at extended families today, like you'll find that although your parents are living far away, grandparents are living far away, the parents would always call them and say, look, can you please help me? You know, so the parents, grandparents would have to go and fetch them from school or do little things for them like extramural activities, take them out while the parents are busy. So that compensates for a little, I would say, compared to the extended families that were there previously.
Okay, you know, now I got a message from one of our listeners now to say that, you know, also we have to consider that there are households where they are children who are guided and led by all the siblings that are playing the role of parents, because maybe parents have passed on, or maybe elderly parents who could be sickly, or even younger parents who are sickly. So basically, you know, a parent role now played by an older sister, which can also be very, very taxing and also very, very confusing for the other siblings, and confusing for the sibling that is playing this role of a parent, because you don't know, am I the mother, am I the father, am I the brother, am I the sister? So I think it's a very good comment that came from one of our listeners. Can you please talk a bit about that?
Sure. If you're the oldest sibling and you have to take the role of a parent, then when would you have an opportunity to be a child? Because your role in that family is to be a child. So actually asking that parent to be, asking that sibling to be, you know, taking the role of a mother or a father, you would find that it does become taxing on that individual. And if you look at the sibling, the younger sibling, where the sibling has been parented by their older sibling, then that child also is dependent on the older sibling, but is also confused, because no one can take the place of a mother. No one can take the place of a father, not a sibling even, but they do their best. So it becomes burdensome for the older sibling. But for the younger sibling, there's also maybe an underlying anger to say, look, you are just my sister or you're my brother, and I don't need you to tell me anything. I have my mom and dad. So if you don't have that in that situation, I mean, it's sad. But in times like this, like if you look at the COVID situation, there's so many people that have lost both parents, and the older sibling comes in and so on. So the role of it is, it is sad, but that's the best that can happen in a situation like that.
They call it child-headed households, am I correct?
Yeah, of course. And later on, you will find that, say, for instance, if you're an adolescent and you lost both parents and you have to look after your younger sibling, somewhere along the line in your marriage, you will find that you will try and look for that adolescent phase that you lost out. And I find that in, you know, when you do couple counseling and you find that, you know, the parent wants to still look like a teenager or things, and then you go back and you see why is it that you want to be still so young in that phase? Then you go back and see that because you lost out on your adolescent phase. But sometimes situations warrant that you have to be a parent. And that's the best that you know. And it happens automatically. You know, it's not something that you are born with. But the instincts come out naturally, that you're the older sibling and you become the parent, because you realize that either the parent's not there, or sometimes you come from homes where the parents are alcoholics or, you know, on substance. So you take the role of that kind of a parent.
And like I said again, you know, these situations are very unique. Every family has, you know, different dynamics. Also, you know, we're talking about the advantages now of having many children in recent times, although we've noticed that families are not as big as they were before, but sometimes you could, you know, be dealing with a family where there are five siblings, or maybe even six siblings, or even four siblings. Advantages of that, like, you know, something you mentioned just now, that you'll always grow up having these friends, lifelong friends. They are your siblings, but they're like always there for you. So when it comes to interacting or having a friend, you always have somebody there.
Sure. And, you know, the saying goes, blood is thicker than water.
Yes, yes.
So that also applies when you have a bigger family. So if you look at your advantages, and if I look at long term, when you come from a bigger family, you learn to handle conflicts better. Remember, compared to having one child only in the family. So amongst you as siblings, you obviously know your role, either your middle child, elder child, younger child, and so on. So you realize that sometimes the younger child is being bullied, you know. So you're always at the beck and call of the older children. Like you say, go and open the garage door because you're the youngest. You can run faster and things like that. So in that way, you learn certain roles that you play. And you apply that even in your career. Say, for example, if there's lots of conflicts between the siblings and they fight, and then they learn to negotiate. So they can handle conflict situations better because they're better equipped. And then they learn even better negotiation skills. And they also become better decision makers. They have better skills to make decisions. And they can share skills, like you find one older sibling helping the younger siblings in their own way. So learning, they learn more from each other. And they have better company, you know, and better competitions amongst them. They know how to win. They know how to lose. They become good sportsmen in saying that I can accept that I can't lose or I can't win and have those kind of skills. So in a certain way, having a bigger family is also an advantage.
Okay, on the downside, if you look at it, again, like we said, it's individual, but on the downside could be like maybe a lot of responsibility could be placed on the oldest sibling. There could be a lot of, there could be sibling rivalry, there could be middle child syndrome, and then also, you know, the youngest child could be the one that is in most cases, pampered and spoiled by the other siblings because, you know, you're the little one and everyone wants to take care of you and give in to your needs. And sometimes, you know, little ones, obviously, they can take advantage of that situation.
Sure, and they'd expect that everywhere, wherever they go. They'd expect to have the same kind of attention wherever they go. And they would feel like everybody, the whole world owes them to feel that way. So each child have their own kind of syndrome, I would put it. Like the eldest child automatically has the parental role, you know, the instincts. The middle child is like the middle of a seesaw. You know, they have to try and balance the family.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest child will always feel like maybe perhaps even being bullied. And you'll notice that the oldest child and the youngest child will always have a special bond. You know, somehow or the other, I just note. But the middle child and the older child will, and the younger child will always not have the same kind of relationship.
Yes. I have another message from one of our listeners that's saying that, being the oldest child, there were a lot of times that, you know, I needed to give my toys to the younger one, share my ice cream with the younger one, even give up certain things that I liked to pacify the younger one. And I said, growing up, you know, I always felt that I came second. But now as an adult, you know, it's that younger sibling that is my best friend. And I appreciate having this younger sibling because when I have problems with my own children or if I need help, that sibling is there. But growing up, you know, the scenario was very different. I think that's a very, sure, very important comment. Thank you for sharing.
Yes, sure, I agree. Because at a certain stage when you're a parent, you look back and you see how you grew up with your siblings. And obviously, if you learn those skills, you'll use those skills throughout your life because that's your foundation. How do you learn how to build relationships in your life? It starts from your home.
Yeah, it's very important. And like you're saying, you know, as this listener got older, they realized that, you know, my sibling is actually my best friend and my greatest support, which is very, very important. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. You're back on to Youth Talk on Radio Islam International with me, Bibi Aisha Leher. And this morning we're talking about family dynamics with my guest, Dr. Geeta Prague, who is a remedial therapist and educational psychologist based in Monjo in the south of Johannesburg. Just before the ad break, we spoke about families where there are lots of siblings, pros and cons. We also spoke about the changes that have come about in recent times where families do not live together. The extended family is, basically families are scattered because of work reasons, for whatever reasons. But obviously the importance of support from grandparents as well as uncles, aunts, cousins. And we also will be talking now about the dynamics when it comes to a family where there are large age gaps. Ultimately, we do know that the children are a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as much as parents can plan, the Almighty plans best. Dr. Geeta Prague, I think what we can also mention is that sometimes parents choose to have an only child, which we will be talking about just now, but just something to bring to light that sometimes with families, they can, as much as they would like to maybe have, parents would like to maybe have four or five children, maybe for health reasons that cannot happen, or maybe, you know, for financial reasons. So again, also, it's something that's very unique and personal to each family or each household.
Sure. Definitely. I mean, well, in today's times, I generally find that parents are quite happy having two children. And those that choose one child is because they believe that, they have the opinion that they would like to give everything of the best to one child. You know, that is their viewpoint. But sometimes I feel that having one child can also be a disadvantage, because what about that child? You know, how does the child grow up being the only child?
We're going to be talking about that extensively just now. We're talking about the only child syndrome. But for now, I would like for you to please, you know, talk to us about, from your experience with the youth and engaging with parents, that when his family, you know, in counseling, and there are children with big age gaps, like I remember you mentioned something about bereavement, where you had a session with siblings. If you could please share that with the listeners.
Sure. You know, from my counseling experience, I found that when I was doing bereavement counseling, there was a big age gap between, say, four siblings. And when I spoke to the youngest one, you know, I spoke to each one of them individually, because they each felt differently about losing their parents due to COVID. And when I spoke to the youngest child, the child says, but I think that my other siblings are grieving more because they have had more time with the parents than myself. So I was quite taken aback, because I thought that the youngest child would feel, you know, more of the loss. But the youngest child, I think, ended up being more consoling to the older siblings, thinking now that they've had more time with the parents, so they have to kind of help out in that situation. And it was sad to see that the youngest child actually looked at the older children, older siblings, as having had more time. So in that sentence, perhaps there was some kind of sadness as well, to say, look, I didn't have much time with that parent. But that is how, you know, children view situations. It's not only for bereavement. It could be for other things as well.
Yes, yes. I have a comment here from one of our listeners. It's also mentioning that growing up, I was the eldest of four children, and my younger siblings were born many, many years after me. The sibling after me, there was a 10-year age gap, and after that, another sibling, you know, that was born after 14 years between myself and the other sibling. And growing up, I had the benefit of having my parents being much younger and healthy, and we did a lot of things together. And I noticed with, obviously, with my younger siblings, my parents' health took a bad turn, and times were much more challenging as compared to the time that I spent with my parents. And I feel, to a certain extent, obviously it's in the hands of the Almighty, but my younger siblings, you know, were faced with much more challenges than I did when I was growing up. I had the best of my parents in their youth.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Sure. That would be probably a situation with many children who do have big age gaps.
That's why parents have to sometimes also, they should be a little bit of planning. You know, if you're older, do you really need to have children, because you're not going to be able to give them the best? So I'm not, as we said at the beginning, life is not planned. But if it is a situation where you can plan, then be aware of it. Because say, for example, if you have an older parent and you're quite young and you're in your primary school and your parents look like grandparents, and the teacher doesn't know, and then the teacher says, are you the grandparents of this child? Then how do you think the child will be feeling? You know, so you have to be aware of, you know, life has lots of tricks that you can't plan, you know. So it's also, you have to also think, if you're a parent, how would you like your child to see you? How would you like the child to be viewed? Or how would the child like to be viewed with their parents in front of the world, in front of the teacher, in front of their friends, parents, and so on? So those kind of things are something that's not in your hands, but the child will feel inadequate. Child will start saying, oh gosh, my parents are looking like my grandparents.
Oh, no, but I think as true, they probably would have those insecurities when they're younger. But I think also, you know, another comment that's coming through where one of our listeners says that, you know, she has two older siblings were much older than she is. And, you know, she said that, "I feel like I have two extra parents. I have my parents and I have these two older siblings. So I was always reprimanded and I was always disciplined. But the good part about it is when it came to my special times in my life, when it came to Eid and when it came to my birthday and anything where I achieved, I always got extra gifts." So she says, you know, that's the plus and the negative about it. But
of course.
The extra parents sort of...
Yes, there's always a downside in and a good side to things, you know. We always have to take the good side. And we sometimes, as human beings, we always focus on the negative. And when things, you know, when people share, like when I bring some things to light to people who are dwelling in certain situation of the past, and we say we can't get back into the past, so let's take what is good. If you have that technique and those tools within you, then life becomes easier if you learn to look at the brighter side of life.
Yeah, another comment we have is from another listener, which is also sort of important to say that when with big age gaps, the younger sibling, and I think this person's, maybe it's just a comment, that the younger one was always bullied, which is also not very pleasant because, you know, we always think bullying happens only in schools or in vernacular, you know, schools, but it also happens at home.
Yes, that's inevitable. You know, perhaps the younger sibling has more energy compared to the others. But it is true that the older siblings do take advantage, but parents have to be aware of that. Like, for instance, Bibi Aisha, like, if you find that the siblings' age gaps are different, when one sibling goes to high school and the other one is in the primary school, how do you give them their spending money? You know, the kind of money, then one... child, the younger one will feel, "Oh, but my parents are treating me badly, like they're giving me less money."
Yes.
You know, so they have to even think of those things. So there's lots of just simple examples of that. You have to think now, when do you give your older child, like your older child may be going to university and the other one may be still in primary school or high school, the university child needs extra freedom, you know, to go out and do little things for themselves and have learn to be more independent. So you see all those things that become like role models. And you have to actually separate as a parent now. You have to divide. You have to think carefully. How do you give extra attention to the youngest child without making the older child feel?
Which is true. You know, the sibling before me, him and I have a 10-year age gap. I'm just telling you about my own personal life. And with my older sister, you know, when she had her first child, I was 4 years old. So at four, I was already an aunt. And yeah. And the thing is that my nephews, you know, and my niece from my sister, her kids, we were brought up more like siblings than uncle and aunt or, you know, nephews and nieces, because we didn't know any better. So we were brought up as siblings because I have a younger brother as well. So that was the thing, that even now, you know, in our adult life, we wouldn't think of ourselves as uncle and aunt to those two nephews and niece, because the age gap wasn't that great. It wasn't that big. So, you know, that's also something that I grew up with. Like, I was already an aunt as compared to the rest of my friends who just, you know, had... They weren't these big age gaps between them and their siblings.
Yes, Bibi Aisha, I can share an experience, you know, in my assessment time. I mean, just to give you an example, I mean, your situation is not unique. It happens.
Yeah.
So many friends of mine who actually are in that situation where their aunts are even younger than them.
Yes, yes. You know?
So it does happen, but those were, I think, a few years ago. I don't see it happening so much now, but I must share this one experience. You know, I did an assessment with a young adult, and she had a two-year-old child, but her mom accompanied her. And her mom accompanied her with her youngest child, who was only two. So the daughter was the adult. She had a two-year-old child, and the mother also had a two-year-old child. And the mother was 52 years old.
Yes.
And I couldn't believe it, that this is what I've seen. So the uncle and the nephew were the same age.
Yes, yes. You know? That happens.
Yeah, that does happen.
Yes. Yes. Dr. Prague, I think now we can talk about the only child, because that's also been, you know, something where parents tend to struggle. Sometimes also where a child is the only child and the child actually finds it difficult, although they're happy. And again, this is based on, you know, my interaction with the youth and your interaction with the youth. You know, we just basically talking from our experience, where they would say that, you know, being the only child, people may assume that you're very spoiled, that you're very pampered, that you get everything with the best, but it can be extremely lonely.
Yes. Okay. So I can just outline some of the challenges an only child can feel. Like, sure. You are right when they say they can feel lonely. Because remember, parents have each other. Okay? They share one room. And this child sleeps all alone. So, in other words, that's where the loneliness can come in. Then the other one is, who do they share the experiences with at their level? They find it difficult. They can't share what they feel and express at the sibling level. Sometimes you find that they have a toy and they won't be able to share because they're so used to saying that this is mine. And they find that, you know, in this competition, who do they compete with? Like, say, for instance, they are playing a game with their parents. And who do they would never match up to the parents' level. So if they're playing a game, it's always the parents winning. You know, there's no sibling kind of competition. And they have too much attention, and they can't share attention. And those parents have so much of time that they actually are so rigid. Like, it's breakfast time, this is what my child must have. Lunch time, this is what my child must have. So, like, they have, like, a routine. Like, it's like, I would say sometimes maybe like a military situation, because they have so much of attention that the parents feel that they must have a perfect child. And that's not what life is all about. No one is perfect. The only child can also lack trust, because they've never been given an opportunity where to share secrets with the sibling.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Lack trust. And sometimes they have to compete with their parents who are adults in so many situations. You know, and then the other aspect is separation anxiety. You know, where parents can't trust the world to take care of their child because they bring the child up so perfectly, thinking that the world is going to be perfectly accepting them.
I think another point that will come to light is also, you know, when you're an only child based in this, you know, put in the situation that if something has to happen to both parents, this child will have this extreme fear and anxiety of that I'm all alone.
Definitely.
I have nobody. I don't have siblings. What do I do?
Yes.
That would be a terrible...
catastrophic, yeah.
Yes, definitely. I think ultimately, despite whatever the setup may be with families, like we say, ultimately the Almighty plans. We plan, but the Almighty plans. And, you know, as much as whether it could be for medical reasons, whether it could be for financial reasons, like, we also believe that every child comes with their own blessing. And... you know, parents can plan to a point, but whatever the dynamic may be, whether you have many children, whether you have only one child, whether there is, whatever the situation may be, the most important ingredient in making sure that the family is successful and the family can move forward and deal with challenges would be communication.
Sure. I just want to also add an interesting point before this, if you don't mind.
Please go ahead.
You know, what's interesting is that when I find that a parent is the only child, I will find that that parent will have about 3 or 4 children.
Yes.
Because they say, I don't want my children to go through what I went through. So I normally find that a parent, if they're the only child, they would end up having more children because they feel left out. You know, so those are some of the things that also I find that quite interesting. You know, it's reverse. When you're the only child, you will say, no, I will make sure I have more children.
Yes, yeah. I know, I have another comment from another listener to say that we were only 2 brothers growing up, and it was always so boring. Even family functions were always so boring because it was just the 2 of us. And we saw our cousins, that, you know, there were many more in the household. So so much of what you're saying now, because this listener is actually saying that, you know, in my family, I have 3 children because I knew what it was like to just have 1 brother.
Okay. So that's
perfect timing from this listener sending this message when you just made this comment.
Sure, definitely. But there are advantages, Bibi Aisha, of being the only child as well.
Mm-hmm.
because you end up getting everything you want. You get all the attention from your parents. You never have to compete for attention. And you grow up quicker because you try to reach the adult parent level. And you'll find the parents are always doing things for you at your beck and call. And you become an independent person as well earlier because you're the only child. And you learn to make decisions on your own because you don't have a sibling to help you to make decisions. You learn those skills. So there are some advantages of being the only child as well.
Like we said again, irrespective of what the dynamics are in a family, communication is very important. So, you know, also knowing that you have siblings, or maybe you don't have siblings, but you have that your parents there to speak to about whatever it is that you're going through, and also knowing that there is the love and support of extended family members, that's very important. Can you please talk to us about that before we round off?
Are we talking about communication?
Communication, yes. The importance of communication.
Okay, the importance of communication is to build self-esteem in every individual. Okay? And because we are able to express ourselves in two ways, perhaps, verbal and non-verbal. Verbal is to be able to talk.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to say things the way you want to. And to express how you feel. And this is what I always tell children even, and even parents, that as a psychologist, you know, I wish I could take an X-ray and to see how you're feeling, you know, perhaps have a remedy for it. But it doesn't work that way. And in the field of psychology, communication is important. So you'll be able to express yourself. Younger children express themselves with painting, with drawing, with toys, and so on. But there's two means of communication. Verbal, a parent uses verbal skills, you know, in order for them to be able to reprimand or to understand the child or to allow the child to express their feelings and so on. On the other hand, you get a parent who communicates via action, you know, like
yes.
Say, for instance, bullying. You bully your child and you tell your child, sit in that place, or you know the repercussions, or give them a hiding, or slap them, or pinch them. And what happens to those two types of action? I always believe that if your child is badly behaved in a social function or in a situation where, you know, it doesn't look nice, it doesn't reflect well upon him or her, then you take your child away from that situation and you make an effort to take the child away. Find a little place where you can sit and tell them that, look, this is what it means. You don't look good when you act that way.
Yes, yes.
And communicate with them. I know that as a parent, you know how to speak to your child. You know what to say. So communication is extremely important. So make that effort. Choose communication instead of action. Because look at today. If we're going to teach our children to have action that's leading to violence, you know, I mean, a child will only know how to bully because he learned bullying.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes, and if I always ask this to a parent. If you hit the child, can that child hit you back? So the playing field is not fair. You won't find a young child hitting the parent back
mm-hmm.
until you find the child becomes, and sometimes, I mean, unfortunate situation where you find even very old parents are being abused by their children. And so communication is a means to expressing how you feel. And even if you can't speak with your family members or your siblings, I always tell children there's a means of communication that you can go out and find.
Yes.
You do not have to bottle up your feelings. Because it becomes unhealthy.
Doctor, unfortunately, we've reached the end of the show and we look forward to speaking to you again soon on Youth Talk. Thank you for sharing these gems of wisdom with us. May the Almighty reward you in abundance for educating and empowering and inspiring our youth. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bibi Aisha, for having me.
Only a pleasure. To our beloved listeners, please remember us in your du'as as we remember you in our du'as as well. On behalf of myself and my sound engineer, Hafiz Hamad Hafiji, we wish you a good week ahead. Please remember us in your du'as and I look forward to speaking to you again soon, inshallah. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
JMS, developing learners for leadership. We aim to create resilient generations with the Quran and Sunnah as a source of guidance. Johannesburg Muslim School.